bye. Let's go to Terrace Chase and look for the bit. They have the pit.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, someone, because it is morning someone. My name is Bernie Burns. With me is a very, very special giggling guest over here. A guy that I have known for a very long time, and I hate to admit, is highly influential in our choice to move over to the UK. Please say hello to the creator of the Slow Mo Guys, Mr. Gavin Free.
Hello. I felt like previously I was most influential over your sock choice.
Let me see. No, you know what you are influential in? Sock related.
Sock adjacent?
It's how I put on socks. Because there was just one time when we were... Gavin and I, by the way, we've known each other for a very long time. I've known you for at least half your life, right?
Yeah, like 2 decades maybe?
Yeah. And so I've known you for a very small part of my life because that's how math works. But we were somewhere. We traveled a lot. I can't remember where we were, but I can easily recall the stinging shame that I felt because I was putting on socks, just like I thought I was putting on socks normally. And I look up after putting on one, and Gavin's just sitting there looking at me, and you said, "You put on socks like my grandfather." And I immediately...
It was like 90% there, but you just didn't have the shoehorn thing, like the sock thing.
So,
but, you know, one day maybe...
Jeff's going to come on the podcast. I hope I'm not spoiling that. I hope maybe I'll have to put him out before you. And I'm going to ask him, what's the oldest thing that you do now? And you know what the oldest thing I do now is?
What's that?
I have a shoehorn.
Like, unironically, not for every type of shoe, like for a smart shoe, right?
What's a smart shoe?
Like a fancy shoe. Not like a shoe that is on Wi-Fi. Shoes that need a firmware upgrade.
Shoe, activate. Activate running mode. No, I have. Well, in Scotland,
yeah,
where I currently live. Are you okay? By the way, should clear some things. Can I refer to Scotland as part of the UK?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the Great Britain. It's part of Great Britain and the UK.
I thought you were gonna say the Great British Empire. It's the last remaining piece of the Great British Empire, us in Northern Ireland. But
can you believe I came all the way here to Scotland to refer?
I should. Yeah, we should point out we're in Austin. Recording gap. But we have a lot of welly boots in Scotland.
Oh yeah.
You can't use a shoehorn for that, but they have there's an entire room in the house which is basically just a wet mud room, boot mm-hmm. room, where you come in and swap out whatever the weather demands for that day. And it's really cool because they have like handles on the wall that you can hold on to while you're putting your boots on.
Pretty stinky room though, usually.
But maybe I don't realize it. You know what's weird is There are some houses, especially a house I own in Austin, that they smelled a certain way, and seemed like it was independent of us where we lived, like how long we lived there. Like my house, I can now say these places, like down in Zilker Park, we had a house. That one had a smell, and that was just the smell of that house.
So you've been unable to transfer your own scent onto the house.
Yeah, I should have just dumped a bunch of welly boots in the front door, and then I would have had it. But I have a shoehorn. As part of all that, like a long one that I don't even have to bend down. I can just like
my granddad bent down with his.
Yeah, because he had
like sat down. It was really short.
He had like a handheld. No, I got a long one that I can reach all the way down. I have to do nothing to put on my shoes now.
And it's not a smart shoe horn.
No, okay. No, I have all dumb footwear, Gavin, and footwear accessories. I just flubbed. We played a drop before this. Perfect drop for you. That was the news reporter who had aphasia and couldn't finish it. And one of my, it seems like everything associated with you, when we were on the RT podcast together, all my pet peeves with you are also my favorite moments with you. Like if I ever flubbed or mispronounced something,
I don't know why I liked it so much.
You would jump on it. You would jump on it. Just pounce. In fact, if I mispronounce something, I could see you physically like get excited.
It was just so, you just had the best flubs. You flubbed in a very unique way. I don't know why. I don't know why I was such a terror. Like I was, I assume I was making fun of you put socks on because you were kind enough to let me stay in your room for some event. Like I would just take your generosity and just throw it back in your face.
Oh no! I mean, I preface this by saying the shame I felt. You weren't saying anything mean at all. I don't think you were trying to be cruel. I just like, and now I'm stuck every time I put on socks. There's like a 25% chance that I'm going to think about you, and I'm like,
that's terrible, isn't it?
Or I'll just like, I have to put on this sock in a youthful manner. Do it that way.
Stomp this sock in.
Just so you know, that's on me. That's not on you.
Jason Saldana, who played Tucker, his brother Nick, mm-hmm. who also played Tucker for one line when there was a blackout in
New York.
Funniest
Tucker line in the season, I feel like. Couldn't hit you over all the team killing? It's a great line.
And we replaced him because it was some period where New York had like a two-day blackout.
Yeah.
And Nick came in.
2004.
I had the same thing with Nick. I had to tie my shoe one time. Tied it. We were out in a group. I probably have spent maybe in total lifetime, maybe 6 hours with Nick. Total. Great guy, but just like, we just don't run in the same circles. Yeah. And we tied the shoe, walked a block or two further. Shoe got untied again. And I started tying it again. Stopped everybody to tie it again. And Nick just goes, in the way that Nick talks, he goes, "Hey, man, don't be afraid of the double knot. Motherfucker, I think about that every single time I tie my shoes." I'm not kidding. That's 100%. I've only spent 6 hours with him in person. I have thought about him for 25 years since that moment of him saying, "Hey, man, don't be afraid of the double knot." I tell it to myself all the time. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, sometimes just the way people deliver something is, I don't know, just is so much more important than what they say, but it sticks with you better.
Life lessons.
Yeah.
Well, you always had a unique way of like phrasing things as well.
Yeah, and I can't. We were talking on other podcasts about how half of people have an internal monologue, and I don't. I just don't. I have nothing going on in my head. I have no words in my head.
Wait a minute. You're one of those people?
Yeah.
How did this never come up?
Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't know it was a thing. But my brain is like The Sims, where I just see like a kind of images of the next thing, and then I just. But I don't. I'm not like, that was a pretty good double knot I did on my shoes. Now I'm gonna get a drink. You know, it doesn't. There's no sentencing, which I think is why I struggle to explain anything, because I'm constantly translating from, like an image,
yeah.
But on the fly, I'm not really thinking about that, the words that are coming out.
That makes so many things in my life with you make so much more sense in an instant. It's like so many things are flooding back. Because, pause for a second, a little tangent. Mm-hmm. I said at the beginning that Gavin is the creator of the Slow-Mo Guys. If for some reason you're not familiar with what that is, it's an enormously popular YouTube channel. How many subs today, do you know, off the top of your head?
15?
15 million.
15 million?
You leave off the million. 15 million subs. Just enormous videos. Like he'll put out a video every few months that's bigger than any video that we ever put out on YouTube on Rooster Teeth. It's crazy how big those videos are. You have probably seen
these days, but
a Slow-Mo Guys video, even if you're not aware of the brand. And the amazing thing to me about that is I understand a bit about cinematography. And that bit helps me realize all the stuff I don't understand. You are like a savant to me when it comes to cinematography, because it's just basically like a spectrum or a matrix where you have the speed of the film, the speed of the shutter, and the exposure of the light, essentially. And if you go faster, which makes the slow-mo, there we go.
I didn't say anything.
If you go with a faster film speed, then you're exposing more frames, which you need tons more light. But you will shoot things that go from real time, 24 frames, 30 frames a second, whatever you shoot at these days, to what's the highest frame rate you've ever shot in? Well, some of the stuff is crazy. Like,
yeah.
What's like a huge explosion? Like, I was thinking about the building you blew up for that.
That was probably only 2,000, but I'm typically at like 80,000 these days.
80,000 frames per second,
yeah.
Up from 30. So just the mathematics on how much more light you would need between those two different frame rates, I've never heard of or seen you miss a shot, like overexposed or underexposed. I'm sure it's happened, but the number of times you get stuff right that is very clearly an impossible thing to reset up. You must have, and I'm worried I'm cursing you here or jinxing you, that you must have an incredible track record for that.
I've gotten good at guessing, but I also just ask a lot of people, like, especially if, like recently I went and filmed a rocket booster launch.
As one does.
Yeah. It just like a rocket dipped on its side, pushing against concrete, not going anywhere. And it's really hard to ask someone like, "Hey, how bright is this going to be?" Because they can't really put that into words. I was like, so compared to the sun. And I just asked like 8 people and I just averaged their response. And then I was like, okay. Yeah. And then I just put 2 extra stops on it.
If you miss a shot, because I'm sure it's happened, is it more likely that whatever the experiment was, like splitting a bullet in half, it just didn't split evenly, or it's out of frame, or it's an exposure thing. What's your Achilles heel for those kinds of
focus,
things?
Probably.
Focus.
Typically,
okay.
To get the most light, I'm a like F2, which is very shallow in terms of depth. So if it's a repeatable thing, I'll just keep reshooting it until like.
And it's just got to happen like within a certain little tiny distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy because I would assume it would be exposure. Like you would have a huge explosion and like, ah, shit, it's too dim or it's completely blown out or something like that.
If it's a one-off event, I just favor underexposing. And this if I overexpose, like if the pixel value is 255, this is fascinating stuff.
I love it. It's gone. You always act like this isn't fascinating, but some of the videos that people go so deep on are like when you'll take a TV and show how a cathode ray tube used to, you know, project an image on an old TV, old tube TV.
Old tech is so much cooler to film. Like the way old stuff works is so much more interesting than computer stuff.
Yeah. And it's also too, Gavin is like, knowing Jekyll and Hyde, you know, you're either going to get super smart analytical Gavin, or most of the time you get, I don't know what you would call it, just moron antics Gavin. Like your podcast that you do, you guys just did a whole huge promotion around waxing your buttholes.
But yeah, I mean, well, that's what people, I feel like on the internet have been trying to figure out for 10 years is like, which one is me? It's the like, slow-mo one or the guy who's getting his anus waxed? It's both. I have appreciation for both.
Can you seamlessly go between both personas?
Yeah, I don't really see that. They just blend together in my head.
So it's like, not like the Hulk? You know? Yeah.
I'm always... That no, it never made sense.
That's my secret. I'm always getting my anus waxed. My favorite videos that you do are always anything that's related to fire. But this was all to explain one thing. Going back to you not having an internal dialogue. Over the years, you have told me things, and there's one that stands out, kind of like you put on socks like an old grandfather.
Yeah.
You told me one time the way, because I just said, how does your brain work for cinematography? Because you must be a savant at this. You must just have a natural aptitude. Because I've spent time trying to study this, and I can't get nearly as adept at it as you just seem to be naturally. And you one time, not related to these conversations, told me, like, you know when you're just at the lake and you throw a rock in the water and you'll close your eyes when the splash happens just so you can save it? And I said, what? What are you? Like, you talked about your own brain and eyes as though they're a camera.
Yeah.
Like, you shut your eyes, and because you shut your eyes at that moment, that's the moment you save in your head.
Yeah, you just get, like, a little freeze frame that vanishes instantly, but it's, you can see it slightly longer. I used to do it with, like, throwing a spoon into the sink and it hitting a bowl of water. I'd just be like, little snapshot. I did that when I was a kid, but I don't really know why. Just
and do you cool. use that, whatever that is now, for...
Yeah, I've done that before. Trying to see what stuff would look like. It's easier now with an iPhone because you can do a little slow-mo on it. But yeah, I used to use that.
Dude, I'm so old now. I use an iPhone as a magnifying glass. I take a photo and then like zoom in. It's so embarrassing. So embarrassing. But you feel free to use that.
And yeah, I feel like I much prefer filming things happen as opposed to people. Like I remember when I was doing Red versus Blue, I really struggled at first to get the hang of like not crossing the axis and having the geography of a scene make sense. Cause that's the kind of stuff I'd never done. Even though I was in the film industry, usually my role was point the camera at the fast thing that's going to happen. And there wasn't really any narrative to it. So when I was having to like block out back and forth between characters, that took me, I don't know, like a couple of episodes to not have everyone like crossing the line and, you couldn't figure out where anyone was in relation to anyone.
No, it's just different than what you were used to.
Yeah, but that in itself was like a skill that even though I'm in that industry, I just didn't have.
And you started, like you had a whole career in movie production before you came to work for Rushdie. Should point out, by the way, you were the first person to ever direct a season of Red versus Blue besides me and Matt, because Matt did season 2. Yeah, but you were the first person, outside person, to come in and direct a season. How old were you when you did that?
21.
Huge mistake for both of us.
I try my best.
But that's what got me going, or looking back, when I decided I wanted to change countries. You and I went through the whole process of trying to qualify you for a visa. That took 7 or 8 months once we got started on the paperwork. But do you still tell the story of Slow Mo Guys? Is it a thing you started in order to...
Yeah, okay. The only reason I started.
Yeah. I'm always careful about that because like people's origin stories, you know, don't want to speak for anybody else.
Yeah, I've always been open about that.
Yeah, but started Slow-Mo Guys, which became this huge juggernaut of a YouTube channel. He started it in order to basically get news articles written about you so that you would qualify as being an artist of exceptional value.
Yeah. Alien of extraordinary ability is a less flattering phrase they use. But yeah, you have to meet like 5 of 8 requirements. Yeah, I didn't really meet any of them. So I was like, oh.
You know what? We now both have that title, which we can say, which is mine is for the UK, is exceptional global talent. That's what that's what I had to qualify for.
That sounds way better.
Yeah, exceptional. What, alien of extraordinary ability?
Yeah.
Which could be telepathy. Or your camera eyes that you have. Either one.
Snapshot eyes.
That process is, America gets a bad rap because a lot of people, I think, move to America. It's hard everywhere. And I was doing that process during Brexit, like between the vote and when Brexit actually happened.
Dodging Brexit and COVID and all these other things.
We moved over there in April of 2020. April of 2020. There was Brexit, then supply chain, COVID. It was like this.
And that was before people really knew how it was getting around. So I assume you're like all gloved and hazmated up basically.
Dude, I would bring my mail in with dishwashing gloves and a mask, and then I would throw them away because you couldn't get anything then either. You couldn't get hand sanitizer, you couldn't get disposable gloves, none of that stuff.
I had already stockpiled all the toilet roll in the world. Did I tell you that how I like used to annoy Meg by every time we'd go to the store, I'd get like as much toilet paper as I could carry? This was like years before COVID, and it would really annoy her that I would always get so much toilet paper. And then
Of course it did.
And then it came in pretty handy when everyone was raiding the stores for it.
And that had happened before. They had caused, I think it was Johnny Carson, caused a run on toilet paper.
Really?
I don't know. I want to say it was like in the 70s, maybe even the 60s at some point. He said, and then for whatever reason, people are obsessed with toilet paper during any kind of emergency. And I can't.
It's not important at all. You can just get in the shower.
You can just get in the shower.
Clean your asshole like you'd clean your face.
Like everybody else. In the world, except for Americans. I heard somebody had a great explanation of the ineffectiveness of toilet paper. I think it was probably a tweet where they said, you know that toilet paper is not an effective way to wipe your bum because if you got human feces anywhere else on your body, someone handing you a piece of paper to wipe it off would not be sufficient.
It's a very Western thing, I think, to not actually clean your asshole.
I'm actually surprised by the lack of bidets in the UK. I thought we would be like awash in bidets.
My grandparents had one that was next to the toilet. You kind of squatted over it.
Like an old school one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like a tiny bath for your ass.
Yeah. it's like going to the water park. there's a lot of the handheld shower devices, but there's also, where I live, a lot of the bathtubs have that because I assume they had just the bathtub and then a hand sprayer as well. And then at some point in the last 400 years, they decided to add shower heads like everyone else.
Yeah, I think a lot of Asia has like the hose attached to the toilet thing going on.
Or
I don't remember what it was like in India. I think there was a lot of just holes.
It's with the footprints on either side. Yeah.
Which I could never get into.
We went to India together. Yeah. We went to both Asia.
We've done the weirdest.
Yeah.
Because you just used to take me on all these trips that were just crazy opportunities that you got, and you would just be like, hey, want to come to this? I'd pretty much always say yes.
You were always my add-on whenever I did anything. In fact, I was just looking somewhere around here. You can maybe probably feel me looking around while I'm saying this. Is the picture of JD with Notch when we went over to Sweden and visited Mojang. It's the creator of Minecraft, who is now retired. It instantly got out, sold his company for $2.5 billion and left. But I have to say, too, you were enormously influential, Gavin, in preparing me for just the utter wackiness of living in the UK. Because that country, culturally, amazing. I love it. I adore living there. So much of that country and that society is held together by the phrase, yeah, well, but that's different. Because I go there and everything's metric. Except miles on the road aren't metric, and your car is not measured in kilometers per hour, it's miles per hour, and you point that out, and people go, well, yeah, but that's different.
I feel like I've used that exact phrase on early RT podcasts a lot.
And you just be like, what do you mean?
What
are you talking about?
Everything's a standard except for the things that aren't. And it's, I think it's just a way that people who were born in the UK and have grown up that way. And Scotland, I think, is even like a distilled version of that. No pun intended, you know, where it's like, boy, you will, I will never be a local where I live. My kids might have a shot at it, but I will never be a local where I live ever, ever, ever. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. It's fun to be an immigrant.
I've been here so long now that I don't really like, I go back to England and so much has changed and there's different people on TV that I don't know a ton about this place. I just don't feel like I'm from anywhere anymore. It's weird. I just am an in between.
I get that. I get what you're saying, because I think I'm on that path to feeling that way. But I was here for a very long time. But I come back here and I'm just like, what is with these roads? Like, what's going on? Or like, there's billboards everywhere. I'm like, this feels so strange to me.
There's a four-way stop and you'll have a red light and then no one will be going because there's no traffic going. Roundabout would be pretty good at that situation.
Okay. Like, we could go deep in the weeds here with the UK. Roundabouts are also okay because it's not entirely clear always, unless you know that roundabout, which direction you're supposed to go. Like, when you get to the roundabout, they don't, god damn it.
clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Oh, I went the wrong way through roundabout my first week. I did. I did it in Aberdeen, Scotland. I went the wrong way.
Did you just
way.
Handbrake turn? That was no, the scariest some, thing in the world.
Some truck driver was like fucking shaking his fist, like full on yelling. And I was like, oh my god. So embarrassing. But they don't put, like, when you get to an intersection in the U.S., there's usually a sign that says which lanes turn which direction.
Yeah.
In the U.K., at least where I'm in the rural U.K., Scotland, they put that on the ground, which is fantastic, until there's cars stopped at the roundabout that cover all that stuff. And then you're like, and then as that car moves, you're like, oh, shit, I'm in the lane of the roundabout that's supposed to turn left.
Why isn't there a camera on the underside of cars to read the road?
And tell me,
yeah.
Why are they just driving themselves at this point? But I was shocked by, I was going down to London. I've always wanted to talk to Gus about this. I was going down to London. I had to go to the bank to get some cash because I wanted cash because I was going to go down there and buy something that I arranged for online, a piece of furniture, and arranged to have it shipped back up. But I wanted to go see it, right?
You wanted to pay with money, like paper?
Paper money. I just needed money because I was going to London. And then she stopped and she goes, oh, you said London. And I said, yes. And she goes, then I need to give you English notes. And I said, ha ha. And she goes, no, really. She goes, they won't take Scottish notes in England, but we take English notes up here. What the fuck is that?
I think you can pay with Scottish notes. It's just, I think it just confuses a lot of people.
Also,
they've never seen it.
Scotland's fucking weird, dude. They're fucking
Scotland
weird.
Doesn't want to be a part of the UK. So maybe that's why.
There is, off the northwest coast, and I want you to try to explain this to me. Off the northwest coast of Scotland, there's many islands. There is, in particular, the Isle of Harris and the Isle of Lewis. Okay?
Right.
When I say that, how many islands did I name?
Two.
Would you be surprised if it's one island and the people in the south part call it one name, the Isle
like
of Harris?
Contested island?
And the people in the north call it the Isle of Lewis? Have you never heard of this?
No.
And I've looked at it, I go, isn't this just one landmass? And like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why are they two different islands? Like, well, that's the Isle of Harris and that's the Isle of Lewis. And I said, what's the difference between them? Like, what separates when you walk from one to the other? And he goes, oh, there's a bridge.
So is it actually two?
And I said, what does the bridge cross? And he said the best answer, most Scottish thing I've ever heard. I said, what does the bridge go over? And he goes, well, the difference, I suppose. That's it. It's just one island that's got a bridge in the middle of it. I have to go to this place and figure it out.
So you're saying you crossed the alphabet. It doesn't make any sense.
you crossed the border that somebody made up about 1,000 years ago when we couldn't walk across the entire island in a lifetime. So, Gav, closing thoughts here. What would you say? How do you feel as someone who has now spent 10 years living in the U.S.? Is that right?
12.
12 years in the U.S. Do you see yourself living in the U.S. for the rest of your life?
I don't know. I feel like I could go back and be happy, and I don't know. I haven't really made that decision. I'm not one for long-term plans, I don't think.
Yeah.
I find that if I try and control an outcome that's too far away, I get really frustrated when it's not happening, and I just bring it in a little closer.
How does that work for somebody with no internal monologue? How do you work that out? Is it literally just a timeline in your head?
Just think of it. There's no words.
So how would you describe, as someone who doesn't have that, I got to come back to this before we leave. How would you describe what you think other people have in their heads if you don't have the internal monologue?
It sounds loud. How do you organize it all? I feel like I'm looking at raw data, but everyone else is looking at text.
I feel like it's like Schrodinger's cat. If I try to think about how I'm thinking, it goes away. I can't do the thing where I shut my eyes and take a snapshot of it. It's like when I try to analyze how my brain is.
Shut your eyes now. What do you see?
I'm very tired. Don't have me close my eyes. I'll fall asleep right here, right now. All right. Well, Gavin, I want to say from both Ashley and I, thank you so much for being an influence.
Thanks for having me.
Having us consider moving from our home in Austin to one of the weirdest countries in the world. And we're having a ball there, and we absolutely adore it every day. And you have to come visit. You have no excuse to not come visit.
I will come visit because it turns out when we do podcasts, it's pretty fun.
It is fun. All right. Well, good talking to you, Gavin. I love you. That does it for us today. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well. Bye, everybody.